Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the E.I.D. Parry India Q1 FY27 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Manian from DAM Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello everyone, and a warm welcome on behalf of DAM Capital to the Q1 FY27 earnings call of E.I.D. Parry. We thank E.I.D. Parry's management for giving us this opportunity to host this call. On the call today, we have Mr. Muthiah Murugappan, Full-Time Director and CEO, along with the senior management team of E.I.D. Parry. I hand over the call to the management for opening remarks, followed by a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Many thanks, Sanjay. Very good morning to everyone, and hope you're all doing well. It gives me great pleasure to be a part of the Q1 FY27 analyst call to share an update about our financial results for the first quarter. I will start with the global sugar scenario. Global sugar markets are transitioning from a surplus-driven bearish phase towards a more balanced outlook. According to the ISO, the International Sugar Organization, the world sugar market is expected to record a surplus of 2.24 million tons in 2025-26, compared to a deficit of 3.2 million tons in the previous year. This is largely driven by better global production of 182 million tons. However, weather concerns are increasingly supporting prices. London white sugar prices have recovered from lows near $404 per ton in early 2026 to about $471 per ton by July 2026, while raw sugar prices remain subdued around $0.14-$0.15 per pound. In Brazil, a stronger sugarcane harvest has increased ethanol production and lowered domestic ethanol prices. Although more cane is currently being directed towards ethanol rather than sugar. I've come now to the Indian scenario. In sugar year 2025-26, the latest estimates are as follows. Gross production is 31 million tons. Diversion towards ethanol, a little over 3 million tons. Domestic consumption, 28 million tons. Exports, 0.8 million. And closing stocks likely at 4.2 million. For sugar year 2025-26, the net sugar production is about 28 million tons, up from 26 million in the previous year. This has largely been supported by stronger output in both Maharashtra and Karnataka, partly offset by lower production in Uttar Pradesh. Domestic consumption, as mentioned, remains stable at 28 million, while exports are at about 0.8 million. As mentioned, the closing stocks will also be about 4.2 million metric tons, which is slightly lower than what was carried into the season. At the same time, sugar diversion to ethanol is about 2.9 million tons, supporting the government's E20 program. While there's been a lot said about the E20 program in the public domain, we expect that blend levels will remain at 20% for the foreseeable future. On the sugar front, the El Niño conditions, which are prevailing in the country, coupled with tight inventories and a very steady demand, have pushed sugar prices upward. In the current month, sugar prices have moved well north of 45-46 rupees per kg. We will need to wait and see if these hold. Perhaps once crushing starts, it's very likely that there may be some correction. I will now hand over to our CFO, Mr. Venkateshwar Lu, to take you through the operating performance of the company.
Thank you, Muthu, and good morning to all participants. It's a great pleasure to be part of the analyst call and share the key operational and financial performance of the company. I would like to take you through the key operating parameters of each segment. So during the quarter, we operated the Tamil Nadu units, and overall crush was about 54 days during the quarter, against 37 days in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. We crushed about 147,000 metric tons of cane against the 212,000 metric tons of corresponding quarter of the previous year. As far as the gross recovery is concerned, we recovered at a 7.95 against the 8.02% in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. We produced about 12,000 metric tons of sugar during the quarter against 17,000 metric tons in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Overall cane landed cost is about 4,031 rupees per metric ton as against 3,844 per metric ton in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. This increase is mainly on account of the FRP, which is moved up for the current year about 3,550. As far as the sales volume is concerned, we sold about 89,000 metric tons of the sugar and against the 56,000 metric tons in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Average sugar selling price at a 40.02 against the 40.097 in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. As far as the closing stock is concerned, we are carrying 1.1 lakh metric tons, which is valuing at about 42 rupees, as against the 1,20,000 metric tons in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. As far as the revenue is concerned, we achieved about 410 crores against 347 crores in the corresponding period of the previous year, an increase driven by the higher sales volume. So all FRPs was paid as per the timelines. As far as the cogen operations is concerned, we generated 180 lakhs units during the quarter as against 221 lakhs units in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. As far as the power exports is concerned, we exported about 89 lakhs units during the quarter as against the 122 lakhs units in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. As far as the power tariff is concerned, average rate realization was 4 rupees 89 paisa per unit during the quarter as against 3 rupees 67 paisa per unit in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. As far as the power segment revenue is concerned, we achieved about 6.6 crores during the quarter as against 7.53 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. As far as the alcohol distillery segment is concerned, we produced about 351 lakh liters during the quarter as against 412 lakh liters in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. So we sold about 380 lakh liters against the 413 lakh liters in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Of which 380 lakhs liters, we sold about ENA 138 lakhs liters and ethanol 242 lakhs liters. As far as the price relation is concerned, average price relation is at 63 rupees 49 paisa per liter, as against the average relation of 67 rupees 59 paisa per liter in the corresponding period of the previous year. As far as the Nutra is concerned, we achieved about 6.22 crores current quarter as against the 6 crores in the corresponding previous quarter. At a consolidated level, turnover was about 61 crores as against the previous corresponding quarter of about 27 crores. As far as the CPG is concerned, we achieved about turnover of about 94 crores against the 188 crores in the corresponding previous year quarter. So, as far as the PSRIPL refinery closure status is concerned, as we already updated in the last analyst call, so we have communication has been sent to all the statutory authorities about the closure and cessation of operations of the unit. So, as far as the bank liabilities is concerned, all bank liabilities are fully settled. So, as on date, there is no bank dues as far as the PSRIPL is concerned. As far as the ACZ unit exit related is concerned, we received the in-principle letter somewhere in the 20th April 2026 and we are in the process of debonding the entire unit and that is in the process. We are expected to close by 30th September. So as far as the funding is concerned, as approved by the board, 610 crores has been infused into the PSRIPL to settle all the bank obligations that have been closed. So as far as the liquidation of plant and machinery is concerned, which is in progress, subject to the approval of the SEZ unit and the denotification of the entire site. Okay, this is an update for the Q1. Thanks for everyone. The floor is open for the...
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sanjay Shah from KSA Securities. Please proceed.
Yeah. Good morning, gentlemen, and thanks for the opportunity. So my first question was regarding our consumer product division. So revenue fell from 187, but the loss narrowed down. So when do you expect CPG to reach quarterly break-even? And even highlighting upon and elaborating something to understand about our evaluating into that ethnic snacks and Enlimary convenience. So what is that? Is an organic launches or is an acquisition through acquisition? And third, in the same division regarding your new jaggery plant commissioning.
Sanjay, very good morning. Thank you for your question. Yes, the CPG division revenue has fallen significantly. This has been on account of a recalibration of the model, so this is intentional. Our contribution margin pool, the absolute margin pool, however, has grown very well as we have focused on, you know, more margin accretive products and a margin accretive operating model into the market. In terms of a quarterly break-even for this business, we are working towards another 4 or 5 quarters. We should have a quarterly break-even on this business. That's how we've designed the new operating model. The newer categories which we're exploring, at this point in time, it's still under exploration. We could look at this both organically as well as inorganically. We are exploring both alternatives. And I think you're also asked about the jaggery plant. Plant to be commissioned in 6 months' time. It's coming up in Karnataka. It will more than double our current jaggery capacity.
Yeah. So, what we expect from jaggery turnover and margins from that side?
Jaggery again, margins are substantially better than white sugar. White sugar, of course, there are commodity margins. We command a premium. Jaggery margins are substantially better. They are more akin to, you know, gross margins you would see in food products. In terms of the turnover, once we have both plants running, we should be able to do closer to 100 crores in terms of turnover just from both of these plants in terms of the quantum of jaggery we would get.
So, sir, should we expect CPG revenue to remain lower but with materially lower losses, or can both revenue and margins recover from H2?
I think, you know, if you look at the history of the CPG segment, we've had last year was about 600, 650 crores, I think, in terms of revenue. The year prior to that was 800, in fact. We can expect revenues to remain lower. But yes, the margin.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay connected. The management's line has been dropped. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the management connected. Yes, sir, you may proceed.
Yes, I think we just answered Sanjay's questions. Sanjay, have I clarified all of your queries?
Yeah, this was much on the first question regarding CP, consumer product business. Now, my next question was regarding Nutraceutical. Sir, how much growth is from U.S. Nutra Valenza versus India? And what EBITDA and PBIT margin can Nutraceutical reasonably achieve once scales normalizes?
Yeah, so Sanjay, the growth is largely coming through from the Valenza business. There have been some new product launches there, and I think some of our existing segments also are doing well. That has driven the growth. From an EBITDA margin perspective, steady state is likely between 12% and 15%.
Right. So my last question was regarding how we look beyond seasonal Q1 weakness. what are the 3-4 financial KPIs, the key performance indicator by March 27 that management itself will use to judge whether disciplined approach, what we have accepted in last few quarters, is now success going successful?
Sanjay, Venkat here, if you look at it, as far as the financial KPIs is concerned, we are more looking at on the efficient working capital, and also we are working on the how do we leverage the debt cost. Okay, and also if you look at it as on date, we had about 150 crores of long term debt, about 800-900 crores of the short term debt or something. We are also closely working towards the monetization of all non performing assets or something to bring the pool into the cash pool into the business, so that the debt levels will be lower, and also we wanted to improve the current ratios for the business. And also we are working towards the efficiencies on the operational side. Also we are working on the efficiencies, and also we are working on the cost reduction programs across all the businesses, so that we can have the leverage on the current balance sheet, and we are also trying to strengthen the balance sheet by March 27 and March 28.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, Sanjay, just to add, I think Venkat articulated well. Those are the effort priority areas. We're certainly hoping to see a stronger balance sheet over the next 4 to 6 quarters, and I think this is the endeavor to tide over precisely the seasonality element. I think apart from Venkat's articulation, I think even on the consumer product group, we have set out certain margin KPIs, which we are well on the path towards achieving. The first quarter has been a good start. We still have some distance to go in F27. Those margin KPIs will enable us to get to that quarterly break-even level in the next 4 to 5 quarters.
That's helpful to understand, sir. Thank you very much. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gautam Dedhia from Nalanda Securities.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand on the Nutra division, now that things have stabilized, over the next 1-2 years, what kind of quarterly revenues can this be scaled up to?
So Gautam, I think the growth on the Nutra front is largely coming through from Valensa. I think we will see that scale improving. I don't want to give any guidance particularly, but I think we're seeing an improving trajectory this year. I will say that we're perhaps going to do this year our highest ever revenue in Nutra, and I think consequently EBITDA will also be healthy. But I want to refrain from giving any number guidance. What is working at Valensa is an org and a management restructuring and product development, which we have worked on over the last 2 or 3 years, is now coming into the market, particularly on the derm health, which is hair and skin health side, apart from some incumbent product categories also performing very, very strongly. So it's a good performance Q1. We're seeing the traction continuing.
So this 12-15% margin that you've indicated is contingent on you reaching a certain scale, or how does that work?
We'll have to build a bit more scale from the current levels. I think we can get to those margins at that point in time.
Okay.
The India business, we're not really adding any capacity. It will likely remain at same levels. A more consistent order load there. We had some certification issues in the India. The India business is only about 20-odd% of the consolidated Nutra turnover, but we had some certification issues in Europe, not entirely up, which was our fault in the past. Those have been resolved, so that scale has to pick up a little bit more. But the lion's share does come from the US, and I think once both settle down is when we can get to these EBITDA margin levels.
Yeah. Secondly, on the consumer goods, when you say you want to break even in 4 to 5 quarters, what will be the drivers to that break even? Is it you achieving more scale on a quarterly basis, or like your value mix shifting more towards value added?
So, Gautam, that's a great question, and you also partly answered it. Yes, value mix shifting more towards value added. I think you've seen that shift play out in quarter one. We see more of that play out. I think adding you know, new products, you know, the browns and jaggery brown sugar, etc., is a big area of focus. I think growing revenues there will contribute. I think distribution expansion, you know, we have in the southern markets, we have a good organized trade presence. When I say organized trade, I mean online channels as well as, you know, modern channels, large format retail. The key now will be to build general trade distribution so that the business. Business expand. So I think these are really the KPIs which will really drive us towards that break even.
Sure.
Business expansion, distribution expansion, margin expansion, you know, new products coming into the mix. This is what will drive, and I think at the underlying. This is a consumer business after all. The underlying bedrock of all of this is to strengthen brand equity.
Okay. And just a last question. Can you just repeat what was the sugar inventory for the quarter and what was it valued at?
1,16,000, Gautam. We are valuing at about 41.50 rupees.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Mazumdar from 361 Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, good morning, sir. How are you?
Very well, Rajesh. How are you?
So I had a few questions. The first one was on the inventory, which you answered. Secondly, we are seeing some drop in the crushing from Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh, which you highlighted in the notes. How do we read this feedstock availability? Do we see a lower crushing going on, or do we see further restructuring in the business in Tamil Nadu? How do we read this in the sugar business?
Good morning, Ashik here. Yes, the cane availability in TN and Andhra is a concern, but it's a macro concern. If you see, in the industry is suffering from cane as farmers shift to more lucrative crops. There are some corrections within our organization that we take to make it more economically feasible to farmers, which is an ongoing exercise. I think the government has also you have seen recently some announcement on state support in Tamil Nadu for sugarcane. We keep ourselves fully aware of the situation, and we'll keep evaluating the scenario and take appropriate actions in that direction. What we are currently doing is to ensure we run a tight ship in terms of costs in these two geographies so that we improve on our margins.
And will we see a lower crush for the company because of this reason in the sugar season 26-27?
In the current year, yes, probably there is going to be flat or about a 5% drop in these geographies.
Yeah. We'll have to, the only place, Rajesh, where we can, you know, make up is Karnataka. But I will say the back half, while we can cheer the rains in July and August, I think the rains in the back half of August and September are very critical to ensure that yields remain intact. From the cane crop, particularly in Karnataka. Now, if the yields remain intact, then I think it's all set for a strong crushing season. It will be a crushing season which starts early, as per what we're hearing from the authorities, just given that closing stocks are a little lower this year. But yes, the makeup can really only come from Karnataka, as you articulated, the cane volume in TN and AP is much lower.
And sir, with the current increase in the cane price in TN and the lower recoveries and the problem thereof, Does it make sense to continue in TN in terms of the sugar business anymore? Because already you saw a few years ago, you had relocated one plant to Karnataka. And is there any further plans of any kind of further restructuring in the TN sugar business particularly?
So I think that is Ashik has articulated. We are going, we discussed various measures of how we can be stronger on our operations, and I think those discussions continue. I think our macro focuses are really around working capital cost and efficient operations. So I think we'll really have to fall in line here in the coming quarters.
Right. My second question is on the refinery. We have seen some operations in this quarter. So will that continue into second quarter, or that will be not there at all on PSR and PL?
Rajesh, what you have seen, the operations is basically that there was a closing stock which was there as on 31st March. Those closing stocks have been liquidated. Other than that, there is no other operations as such. The operations have been ceased as on 31st March.
Right. So from 2Q, it will be zero, PSR IPL.
Yes. There will be some period cost incurring will be there, that as per the plan.
And secondly, can you make me understand this, write-off and then the write-back? Because I want to understand the cash impact of this, because you invested, you are saying 610 crores to meet the obligations of the subsidiary. But then again, you have taken a remeasurement of the financial guarantee and loans of 591 crores. So I understand is that that's a non-cash. So I think the cash outgo will still be 610 crores?
Yes, Rajesh, what you are understanding is correct. First, let me clarify on the what is 610 crores, what is the 591 crores. As on 31st March, being a 100% subsidiary, so we have guaranteed all the loans of the PSRHL. Thereby, we have to, as a parent, we have to create a financial liability as far as the PSRIPL is concerned. So that's where we have created a liability. But that doesn't mean that we have infused the money as on 31st March. The actual infusion has happened somewhere in April. That investment which we have put it as a part of the infusion, which is in line with the board approval as on 31st March. So since the business ceased its operations, there is no, there is as per the accounting requirement, we have impaired that asset. At the same time, since all obligations are completed, we have remeasured the financial liabilities and we reversed that liabilities. So net-net impact for the quarter, what you have seen is the 610 crores is the impairment, 591 crores is the reversal of the impairment, about 18 crores is a fresh impairment which we have done for the quarter.
No, I understand the impairment part. I trying to understand the cash part. The cash part is still outgo of 610 crores, right? For the unwinding.
610 is already done. As is actually there in the public, Rajesh. 610 crores already and we have settled. Okay. Over and above that, 55 crores loan also we have given. Total 665 crores which we have infused during the current quarter to settle all the bank liabilities.
Right. You mentioned also 130 crores out of which you have given 55 crores. So balance 65 crores is also left, right? Yeah.
65 crores is left, but over a period based on the requirement we will be giving it. So it is not that 130 we will give at one stage. Because today if you look at it, the 55 was required for the quarter, we have given it. If PSRIPL start generating any cash or something, then we will not be giving it.
And in terms of the assets, will we get any value out of selling the assets in that plant?
Yes.
Yeah, we will get cash out of selling the assets, yeah. A lot of that prospecting is already going on. Of course, we have to get all of our clearances before we can start, any dismantling. But we will get value. I wouldn't like to put a number to it. I think that prospecting is certainly underway.
Right. And sir, after all this, what is the standalone debt as of 30th June? I'm sorry, I missed the first part of the speech. Maybe you mentioned.
No, Rajesh, we were just saying that we are prospecting the sale of the asset. We can't really dismantle anything until all of our statutory clearances come through. And I think once that comes through, we would have also prospected and arrived at the plan to divest the physical assets, which we will do.
No, I'm asking what is the debt at the standalone level as of 30th June?
Yeah.
30th June, about 980 crores as far as the short-term debt is concerned, Rajesh. About 150 crores on account for long-term.
And sir, actually this is just the first quarter when there is no crushing. So actually when the crushing starts, third and fourth quarters, this debt will again go up, the short-term debt, right? Is that a correct understanding?
Yes, because even if you look at it as on 31st March, our short-term debt was about 1250 crores. So now it has come down to 980 crores. So once the crushing starts, then because it's in quarter two also, then further it will reduce. So then once the crushing starts, it will go up. It's like a completely the short-term debt is linked to the your working capital.
Rajesh, to your point, though, I think this Venkat did articulate earlier on in the call that, you know, we do have a ruthless focus on working capital. We expect to improve upon this position in the coming periods of time. You know, to run Tamil Nadu distilleries, etc., we had to insource a lot of feedstock on account of low feedstock availability. You know, we've taken certain calls on, you know, how much and when we import that feedstock. So we will be a bit more measured around that basis market conditions. To that extent, I think this number will also improve in the coming periods of time. So while we, while short-term debt certainly will, while long-term debt certainly gets retired, and we don't have, you know, too much of capex plans which are imminent, short-term debt also you will see an improved position as we are quite, there is a conviction to better this position going forward.
Right, sir. And so employee costs have also shot up quite sharply from 51 or close to 59 crores for the quarter one.
Wow.
So I guess you're building kind of capabilities for the CPG business. So how will we see the employee costs, you know, down the line? Is it going to be similar or higher as you build up the business? Yeah, some clarity on that.
Rajesh, they've gone up because of VSS, which we've done. So a lot of our plants are legacy plants. We are offering VSS. You will see more of that. This is being done with a longer term interest in mind and overall bringing the fixed cost position down. The CPG capability building is not the reason for the employee cost going up. So this is taking legacy cost out.
So this is a one-off, I mean, in terms of the VFS, which you have expensed. Is that correct?
One-off, but one-off in one plant. There's more that we intend.
Right. That's very useful. And sir, if I could sneak in a last question, in terms of a strategic point of view, how do we view EID Perry standalone, say, 3-4 years down the line? What are the broad components or the contours of the business that is going to be shaping up, say, over a period of time, if you could outline that? Yeah.
So, Rajesh, the aspiration is to have a consistent EBITDA generation from the sugar and biofuels business. I think that is the core business. It's the mothership. As you know, our operations in Karnataka are very strong. In fact, I would say we have industry-leading metrics. The operations in the other states do lag us. We will work on cost and efficiency to fix and restructure this. I think you are seeing a broader climate of restructure in the company. We will work with conviction on this. The second piece is to, of course, grow the consumer product group business. You have seen, I guess, a stronger, more focused operating performance in the last couple of months. Of course, while revenues have fallen, I think our margin pool has grown. Here, I think it articulated the KPIs which we're working with fairly clearly. Lastly, on Nutra as well, we're seeing a better performance on the Nutra segment. And I think this is in line with the strategy that we've written up so that we have the right value creation at Nutra. So I think this is how we're looking at the EID standalone in the period to come, I guess, in the near to medium term.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raja Kumar Vaidyanathan from ARK Investment. Please proceed.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. So the first question is, given the current static ethanol prices and given the high sugar prices, does it make sense to produce more sugar than to convert the juice to ethanol?
This is Ashik here. Yes, obviously it makes sense to produce more sugar at this current pricing. We will evaluate our option of producing ethanol, ENA and sugar from which feedstock is a constant review mechanism where we have, and we try to maximize our margins. But there is a base volume of sugar we would still produce to take care of our customers.
Okay. And on the inventory, you mentioned it's 1.6 lakh tons, right? That is the inventory that we are carrying.
1.16.
1.16.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
It is similar to what we had in the last year, same push.
Okay, got it. The next question is on the Tamil Nadu sugar situation. So with the government announcing further incentive to increase the area under sugarcane cultivation, so just wanted to know whether it will have any significant impact, or do you think it's more cosmetic, the benefit that's given?
I would weigh in cautiously optimistic on that, because it's a good increase that the government seems to have given. Obviously, it's incumbent on the farming community to evaluate. One of the challenges in Tamil Nadu is a rampant shift towards paddy in the last 6 to 7 years. Given various reasons why paddy is better for a farmer, it's completely mechanized, and there are three cycles of planting the farmer does. I'm sure the farming community would evaluate both the crops and treat it on merit. Initial feedback from the farming community has been optimistic, is what I would say.
Okay. And this will not improve, will it weaken the working capital? Because I don't know what is the framework of providing the incentive. The government give directly to the farmers, or just want to know what is the impact on the working capital?
There's no impact on working capital. There's a direct benefit transfer from the government to the farmer account. We play a facilitating role. At the end of the season, we give the farmer details, etc., to the government. It's fairly efficient. It will not have any impact on the company's working capital.
Okay. Good. Okay. So this last question is this: given the higher sugar prices, and given Tamil Nadu has provides harvest twice a year. So just wanted to know, are you doing any early crushing in the Tamil Nadu sugar mills?
Tamil Nadu sugar mills, we are currently crushing, and we would continue to crush. There is an opportunity to pre-draw from the main season to leverage the pricing advantage. We will evaluate at the end of the crushing season, depending on the maturity of the crop. So the trade-off is between how mature the crop is and is it ready for crushing. We'll take a calculated call of that.
So what you're saying is there could be a lower recovery, but it will be compensated by higher price. Is that what you're saying?
We should, in this business, recovery is the key parameter. We should, our principle is not to try and compromise recovery for crush volume. I think it's better to crush at the right time depending on the maturity of the crop.
Okay. No, sorry to labor on the point. So my question is, will you compromise on the recovery given that the higher prices are prevailing? Is that's my question?
Not.
Because if you're going to crush earlier, so even if there's a small reduction in recovery, you'd be okay to compromise on that.
We would not want to do that in Tamil Nadu because it's already a low recovery zone. What I meant on pre-drawal is we would test the plant crops. We have our field teams which pick up the sugar content on the crops and the maturity of the crops basis the age. If there is an opportunity, we will leverage that. But at no stage, if we have reasonable technical knowledge to see that the recovery may not be commensurate, we will not pre-draw.
Okay, got it. Last question is on the corporate structure. So currently we are holding Coromandel as a subsidiary. So are there any plans to rework on the structure?
Kumar, there is no such discussion at this point in time.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Manyal from DAM Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Just want to know about the way sugarcane price has gone up now in Tamil Nadu specifically. So this is, I think, if I'm not wrong, if you can elaborate on, is it the incentive which has been given by the government or the entire cost has to be borne by the company?
The current sugar price increase has no link with the sugarcane pricing, because the sugarcane pricing just got announced in the TN budget about a week, 10 days back. There is no impact for the company on this because it's a direct benefit transfer from the government to the farmers.
Right, right, sir. And secondly, the way the sugar prices have moved up, I think as you mentioned also, probably it makes more sense to make sugar rather than ethanol. So, how much, given the kind of a fungibility we have, how much ethanol volumes we can do from C-heavy plus grains? What would be the sort of impact on the ethanol volumes?
582 KLPD is our capacity, which is roughly about 18 crore liters, out of which about 120 KLPD is our grain capacity. In terms of switching between ethanol and sugar, that's an evaluated call we have to take depending on the margin profile.
Sanjay, we have to keep in mind whatever the committed volumes to the OMC, if you are not able to supply, so there will be the penalty for the each liter which we are not supplying it. So when you are evaluating it, we have to take into the consideration of the commitment what we have given to the OMC.
Right, sir. Right, sir. Understood. Thank you very much, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Gautam Ladia from Nalanda Securities. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the follow-up. I just have one question. I think in the beginning of the call, you mentioned you all are looking to dispose of some non-core assets. Can you just highlight what these assets are and what would be the quantum?
Basically, some of the land parcels which we are trying to dispose it of, it is not relating to any of the operations related.
But, and any quantum that you can highlight?
As of now, no, Sanjay. Because once it comes, then it will be this one.
Okay. And any timelines?
We expect to do something in F27. We're working
okay.
on it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Participants who wish to ask a question, please press star and one now. As there are no further questions from the participant, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you all for logging into this earnings call. We look forward to seeing you again at the end of the next quarter. Thank you and take care.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.